Do you ever find those people in your, you know, business networking connections that do something very similar to you? And when you get on a call to chat with them, you just find yourself like nerding out and so excited to talk about all of the things because both of you are like so passionate about the same topics. Well, that's exactly what today's podcast episode is. I sat down with my friend Megan, who is a copywriter as well. She specifically focuses on email marketing and with a fun storytelling aspect to it. And, you know, both of us are so similar in that we are very big fans of storytelling, as you've heard me talk about many times on the podcast. And we're both obviously big fans of email marketing to grow your business. And both of us are copywriters. So we had a lot in common. So we were talking about how storytelling is so effective in your email marketing. And I'm really excited to share this conversation because Megan's got some amazing tips and ideas and insights for you that is going to really help you improve your email marketing strategy. It's going to help you with your storytelling strategy. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you're going to come out stronger and more confident and better able to serve your people that are on your email list. So without further ado, I'm really excited to get into this conversation with Megan. This is Simple Facebook Group Strategy with me, Sarah Beisel. Do you want to know how to set up and optimize your Facebook group? Do you need a content strategy you can actually stick to? Are you wondering how to get new members into your group every single week? Then you, my friend, are in the right place. Over the last 3 years, I've developed simple strategies for optimization, growth, and engagement so you can create a Facebook group that actually supports your business. I grew my group from 0 to 1,500 members on my own, and I make consistent sales every single month without showing up anywhere else on social media. And I did all of this in less than 30 minutes per day. I believe that when we pour into our community strategically, we pave the way for the kind of relationships that turn into paying customers. So if you're ready to start your Facebook group, create an engagement strategy, and develop a growth plan so you can finally have the foundations to market your business successfully, grab a coffee and pull up a chair. Let's do this. I know God's put it on your heart to build an online community, but you're worried you don't have enough time. I mean, isn't it a lot of work to manage a Facebook group, engage with everyone, and find new people to join? Well, I managed to grow my group to 1,000 members, and I have a 400% engagement rate, and it takes me less than 30 minutes per day. The strategies I use are so simple, and I'm teaching you every single step inside of Facebook group foundations. You don't need to spend hours every day to create a thriving community. When you follow my plan, you'll only need 15 to 30 minutes each day to do everything you need to do. Join us inside Facebook group foundations and get my simple growth and engagement strategies to create a thriving Facebook group. Go to sarahbeisel.com/facebookgroupfoundations. That's sarahbeisel.com/facebookgroupfoundations. Let's do this together. Welcome to the show, Megan. I'm so excited to sit down and chat with you today. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this. This is one of my favorite topics. So
yeah, me too. I'm such a big email marketing person as well. So I'm really excited to pick your brain because, you know, we all have different perspectives, different things that we'll bring to the table. So I think it will be a really, really fun conversation. So I'd love to start actually, sorry, with a question that I hadn't primed you with. Sorry to throw it at you. But I'd love to just hear a little bit about your journey into where you are now in terms of why you decided to focus in on email marketing as your focus, because I find it very interesting how people kind of end up here, because it's not necessarily something you just, you know, you wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm going to work in email marketing. It's not really something that you intuitively know necessarily. So I'm curious. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, just waking up and being in the middle of copywriting itself is not something that one wakes up with either. It is kind of a long and winding road. My life has been from early days, like when it first went to university, I was studying journalism. And I did do a little bit of journalism before I became a stay-at-home mom for many years. And then during that time is really when the internet just like people and online businesses really started to explode mm-hmm. during that time. So there were so many things that became available that weren't prior to that. So everything changed so quickly. Mm-hmm. I actually had an online business early on and just loved learning about blogging and emailing and marketing in general. Mm-hmm. And I found it so fascinating and fun. When I set that aside and I ended up fast forward like 10 years later, I was actually thinking about getting back to my writing roots. I'd been teaching for 12 years. I've been teaching 12 years. And something in a conversation that my husband said really prompted me. He said something about, they were talking about descriptive words. It was for my daughter's high school assignment of some sort. Mm. And she named me as a teacher. And then he's like, your mom's also a writer. And I was like, huh, it's funny that he thinks of me as a writer when I'm not actively doing that on the daily mm-hmm. basis. And it just got my wheels turning. I started praying about it and thinking about it. And then COVID happened. And so I had a lot more time to think and pray.
Yeah.
And I had already started thinking about like, what would that look like if I really truly was accepted that identity as a writer? What would that practically look like? And so I was getting back into like journalism and the different types of writing. I looked into copywriting, which was something that honestly had never really attracted me before, because when I was very young, I almost decided to study advertising. It wasn't even called marketing back then. It was advertising.
Yeah.
And there was something about it that felt kind of gross to me. Like sales didn't feel right. I felt like as a Christian, that would be really hard to... because my perception was you're going to talk somebody into something that they don't want and force them to buy it. That was a misconception that I had about sales. Mm-hmm. And then so I started looking into copywriting a little bit more and started understanding really the premises of it, which is not persuading people to do things they don't want to do, but helping them to find a solution to their problems. And mm-hmm. that seemed much more attractive and much more aligned with my worldview. So I got really interested in it, started studying it. I went through a certification course. Long story short, how did I end up in email marketing? I don't know, but I used to love blogging. And blogging to me, email marketing is very similar because it's like a little mini blog that you send to someone's inbox instead of posting it on a website. Mm. And I used to just love going and reading other people's blogs and seeing what they had to say. And it was very conversational in tone, not very formal. And there was a real connection that was made. And back in the day, people used to have like blog links and stuff where you would get together in groups and comment on each other's blogs, and you became this little community. And mm-hmm. now I find that in email marketing, it's a similar thing. You get to know people beyond the inbox, beyond the website, and just like kind of like social media is supposed to do. You can cultivate relationships that way, but with people who really genuinely want to be there and be with you instead of just, you know, like on social media, it's whoever happens to be in your feed that day.
Yeah.
We are sure that they have chosen to be part of your community when they're on your email list. So that's how I ended up here.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned that it's conversational, because this is something that I've ended up having conversations with people about before, is that, or I see a lot of people are very, they kind of like the way that they talk about email marketing, they talk about it in a very funny way, because like if they're the ones with the email list, they don't want to call it an email list for fear of it being this like, oh, super like unprofessional. That's not the word I'm looking for. Too formal. I can't find the word that I'm looking for. But anyway, like this weird relationship where it's not a very friendly thing. It's like you just talking to people about all the stuff that you're selling, and that's kind of the end of it. So they don't like to talk about email lists. And a lot of people are like, well, it's kind of a one-way thing. So I love that you mentioned that it's conversational, because I guess that's one of the things I guess that you focus on a lot then, is making your emails and the emails for the clients that you work with very friendly and in that feeling. So how does that process work in terms of emails being conversational?
Well, that's a great question. I think first you have to start with changing your mindset. Like you mentioned, if you think of it as something like the big box stores do, which is very impersonal, it's mostly focused on what's in it for me. There's a discount code or something, a sale. That mm-hmm. is not the kind of email marketing I'm talking about. I'm talking about small business owners who are trying to connect with the people who are already interested in the product or the solution that you have for them. And then how can you cultivate that relationship? So I start by thinking this email is going to one person. I'm having a conversation with one person, not with 300,000 people, whatever your email list may be. It's one person. And if you can think of it that way, like having a talk with a friend, then it's going to change the tone of your email. And it's also just going to take pressure off of you as a person. Sometimes the numbers can be intimidating. Even if you have 30 people on your email list, if you're just getting started, that can be a little bit intimidating. It's like standing, you know, in high school, if you were standing in front of your classroom, having to give a speech, it may be 12 people, but it was still intimidating. And so I feel like that takes away the pressure. If you think of it, if I'm sending this to my friend, so-and-so, what would we talk about? And then share it in that manner, one. And number two, what is it that I can illustrate for my life or from someone else's life or from daily life that we all experience that is going to help them understand this thing better, whether it is the problem that you solve as a business? How can I illustrate that better? Let me give you an example. You know, in the Bible, it's filled with parables. Why? Why did Jesus talk in parables? Because we don't just get it. We don't just get the facts of the matter. We have to understand it in a different way. Our brains start by thinking emotionally. We make decisions emotionally and then logically. And then we come together and we have credible, if we know we have credible information as well, then that's going to help us say yes. So parables spoke to the heart, right? And helped us understand things better. And then when we use illustrations in, like, for example, my husband's a pastor and he uses sermon illustrations all the time. Again, we're taking the truth of the Bible and explaining it in a story that's usually from like the headlines or from a simple everyday life story about something that people experienced. And we get it that way, but we don't always get it if we just read the scripture, you know?
Yeah,
you need a little bit more. And that's the same with marketing as well. In email marketing, you want to give them just a little bit more to help them think about it in a different way. And at the same time, bonus, you're entertaining them. You're giving them something to look forward to. So many of us use our phones as a means of escape, or we want entertainment. And this can be a legitimate form of entertainment while still in, you know, educating them on your product or service.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you bring up the idea of stories and storytelling within the emails, because I think it's so, I think it's important anywhere to use those kinds of strategies. But I think especially in email marketing, it feels like it's even, it kind of takes it that level deeper than it does necessarily on social media. And I don't quite know why that is. Why is it that you think like stories work so well in emails particularly?
I think because you can, first of all, it's the written word versus a visual, and that this just works differently in our brains. Secondly, I think that it speaks to us in, you can go a little bit deeper because you're asking the reader to visualize instead of doing it for them. So their brains have to work in a little bit of a different way. But I think it's just one of those things that from cradle to grave, we're all using stories or wanting stories in our lives. We, like for me, I know I was always the kid who was at family gatherings, sitting down at the feet of the adults and listening to them tell stories and tales of, you know, my ancestors or even just my Uncle Joe or whatever. And that was, I was attracted to that. I could have been outside playing, but I wanted to hear those stories. I think we all have that level of, we desire storytelling. That's why we like movies. That's why we like to read fiction books. There's just something that God has placed in our heart that has a pull on us, and storytelling kind of hits that mark for us.
Yeah. Well, I always like to say it's a very evolutionary principle, because before there was writing, there was only spoken word. And how did we communicate information? We didn't communicate it through a list of facts. We would tell stories like, hey, don't go eat that plant over there because Joe ate that plant and Joe died. So that plant's poisonous, you know, and now we're like, oh, okay, let's not eat that plant. Like all of the early information was conveyed through some type of storytelling, in whether it's just short things like that or, you know, much more long form things. I think we see a lot. I live in Canada and there's a lot of First Nations things, and a lot of their kind of I don't really know the right words to describe it because I've never participated in them, but they're kind of rituals or events or those kinds of things that are very important to their ancestors and their tribes. It's very, very like animated, and it's got some story behind it. And so that's how they continue those traditions even now. And it's like, that's just this core part of, as you're saying, it's a core part of who we are, who we were made to be, which I think is just so cool to trace that back to the way that God made us. Cause like, it's not like we just acquired this for fun. It was built into our design.
Yeah. And also, I mean, there's like legitimate science that says that storytelling helps us remember things way better than simple facts. And I know this as a teacher, because whenever I'm teaching and I see blank looks or blank stares, if I just give people facts about whatever we're talking about, like let's say it's the American Revolution, and I give them a bunch of dates and names and blah, 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 they're not going to be interested at all. But if I instead tell a story about how someone went through a terrible winter, like George Washington went through a terrible winter with his troops, and they were eating like leather off their boots and stuff like this, and still they prevailed. Like, they will remember that, but they won't remember if I just tell them, you know, about a battle and about some guys and how many people died. Like, that doesn't matter to them. The heart, the emotional part of that, like, always captures our brain for some reason, and we just remember. And so for us as a business owners, that's a good news, because if you're telling stories, you're going to be top of mind for clients. They're going to remember you. They're going to think about you. And in this world where there's like a bazillion options, right? We're bombarded every day with messages. How will you be memorable? How will you stand out? That's a struggle that we think of, and it's stressful. But one way you can do that is just to be your authentic self. Tell stories that people resonate with and want to hear more about. And just when they think of you, they think of this story comes to mind. So I think storytelling is important for that as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think emails will help with that as well, because, you know, emails are going to your inbox. It's not like you're having to compete with an algorithm or other people. So in a way, even just getting onto those email platforms really helps kind of cut through some of that noise as well, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. It cuts through the noise, because that is what I'm so passionate about email marketing is. It gives you a direct contact with people where you cannot control what the algorithm does, but you can control what happens in someone's inbox. Now, I know there's some variables to that as well, but not quite so many barriers as there are with social media. So I really think that that gives you advantage too, but I think they pair nicely together. They work nicely together, both social media, Facebook, Instagram, all the things like that is there. It's just a beautiful trifecta when you get it all together working seamlessly.
Yeah, for sure. Because you gotta find people to get on the email list. Like, they've got to find you somewhere. They're not just gonna, you know, suddenly start being on your emails without connecting through, you know, a blog or a podcast or a social profile or your website. Like, somewhere they got to go somewhere to find the way to get on your email list. So yeah, I love that they pair together really well. I'd love to ask your perspective on this, because I think it's very interesting. What would you say are some of the biggest mistakes that people make with their email marketing? So, you know, yeah, sorry.
Great question, because I think the biggest mistake is just not doing anything at all with it, because they are stuck in analysis paralysis. They're like, I don't know what to write. I feel maybe a lot of people have some tension about writing and think that they're not a good writer or that they have to be some kind of amazing writer. I mean, I want to take the stigma off of that. Like, I've taught academic writing for years and years, but this type of writing, email marketing, especially copywriting, is supposed to be conversational. You don't have to write textbook, you know, follow the grammar rules. You can throw them out. You can just write like you would speak to a friend, and even like have incomplete sentences and awkward pauses. That all makes the story even better. It makes people want to read on. So that's the biggest thing, is like just not doing anything because they don't feel like they know what to do. I mean, just start talking to someone. That's what I would say with an email. Start small. You don't have to like eat the elephant all at once. You can just take it one bite at a time. So if you're not doing anything, I would just take one step forward, and that would be starting a monthly newsletter and then go to weekly, because I think that's going to be more beneficial. But that would be one, is that people just don't do anything. And number two, I feel like either they just send out fact-based emails where it's like, hey, this podcast episode dropped today, or we're having a sale on, you know, X, Y, and Z. If you only do those types of emails and you don't nurture your audience, then you're going to really miss out on the long-term success of email marketing as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because yeah, like that's a lot of the emails that we see come from, you know, companies that we sign up to receive emails for, or companies that we didn't want to receive emails for, but somehow they end up in our inbox anyway. And it's just, it's very promotional, and there's not a lot of conversations, because a lot of companies don't, for whatever reason, they don't invest their time into creating those kinds of emails. And I'm not sure why. It's a huge missed opportunity for them. I feel like the companies that do that would probably be so much more successful at selling their products to people or reminding people of new information. Like, yeah, you can promote in your email, tell people about the sales and tell people about the offers and stuff. But it's not just that, right? It's, as you're saying, like nurturing. And so what does nurturing look like to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So nurturing to me means caring enough for your clients that you don't just sell to them all the time. You want to sell. I mean, I'm not saying don't sell. Selling is great and there's nothing wrong with it. But what else can you provide them? Is there any kind of other value that you can offer them? And it doesn't have to be like give away the farm in your email, give away all your tactics and tricks and tips. But what can you do to encourage them today? What can you do to give them a quick win today? Something that is going to endear them to you, so that when the time comes so there's three things that you need in order to convert through email marketing, and that is the right offer, the right time, and the right people. So if you've got the right people on your list and it's finally the right time, then they're going to buy after they have developed this this place of where they feel like they can trust you and they know you and they like you and the product fits for the problem that you're solving is what they need in their life, then all those things come together magically and lead to conversions. So I feel like nurturing means a weekly email, something that people can expect, or at least a timely email. If you're doing once a month, they know that on the first Monday of the month, they're going to get an email from you. Yeah. Like, what are the expectations? Have you set the expectations? Two, when they see it in their inbox, are they intrigued or delighted? Do they want to open it? Then definitely you want to make it something that people look forward to. And then number three is provide those quick wins or some kind of value without giving away your whole program or, you know, giving all the information away, but allowing them to have something that they feel like they owe you. It's called actually the law of reciprocality. Oh my gosh, that's such a hard word to say. where you want to reciprocate. Well,
reciprocate. I know, it's one of those words.
Where you want to give back because you have received something from them as well.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good point. And yeah, I feel like I can't remember who said this, but where this came from, but I read somewhere in a book that if you're going to move to a neighborhood, instead of going and, you know, offering something, go and ask for a favor, because if they fulfill the favor, they're then going to feel obligated or permission to go ask you for a favor. And it's actually one of the quickest ways to, you know, build connections with your new neighbors rather than, you know, saying, oh, hey, here's a gift. It's like, hey, can I borrow something real quick? And apparently it just psychologically connects so much quicker, which is very interesting. I never really thought about it and I haven't had the opportunity to try that out, but I'm very curious the next time I move to a new neighborhood to like try it out and see if it makes
sense. Yeah, that's very similar. And it's basically what it is. It's like closing the loop. So there's always this, if there's a loop open, you want to go back. We just naturally want to circle back and close that loop. So that's one way to do it.
I love that. Well, I have one final question before we wrap up. So I'd love to know, because I talk about this a lot as well, but I'd love to hear your perspective on this, how email lists can support Facebook groups. Because obviously a lot of people that are listening are interested in growing their own group or are currently working towards that. And so how does email marketing support the Facebook group strategy that they're already working on?
I believe that all of these things work in tandem together, like we mentioned before. So you can bring people in through your Facebook group and then put them on your email list. You can bring them in from your email list and put them on your Facebook group. So they can both be working together to grow all of your KPIs so that, you know, that you can be the most successful. You've got communication on both fronts. So the people who maybe aren't as active on Facebook sometimes, you're still going to get them in their inbox. The people who aren't as active in their inbox, you're going to get them on Facebook. So they're going to both work together to kind of fill the gaps and still be able to communicate across the board to meet all the needs of your clients. And as far as sales strategy is concerned, I feel like these things both work amazingly well, because your email, you can go deeper into offers, you can explain things on another level. And like, we're all different types of learners, right? So some of us are more verbal processors, and some of us need actually like all the information written down and see it with your eyes. And so email is a little bit better for that strategy. But also I feel like the timing, because you can time your emails so that people typically have routines, and they do this with Facebook as well. So if you figure out when your people are most active on both platforms, then you can make sure that you're getting your message to them at multiple times in the day, because people tend to be early morning email readers a lot of times, and maybe late nights, depending on your audience. And then you can definitely tell what your audience is up to in Facebook, the different times of day they're most active. And so that can be part of your strategy to make sure, especially when you're starting to sell your offer, that you're getting it to the people when they're actually going to open it in their email and see it on Facebook, so that it doesn't get lost in the overwhelming amount of information that we get every single day.
I love that. That's such an interesting point. And another great thing to use the Facebook analytics for, actually, is to inform those decisions on email marketing, because I think that's one of the things. I mean, I don't know if all platforms do this, but certainly I use Flowdesk, and the analytics are, they're coming along, but they're still not as robust as some other places. And so I don't think it tells you, you know, like the times of days that people are opening en masse. I think if you went into each individual person, you could probably look it up, but that's a lot of effort. So it doesn't really have that extrapolated out. So I think that's very interesting to use the Facebook analytics to think about when you should be sending the emails as well, because that's very interesting. So wow, that's been very cool. So if people would like to learn more about email marketing or want to connect with you because they've got questions or they're curious about all the things that you've just said and shared, where can they go find you? Do you have any free resources for people? Give us all the goods.
Okay, yeah. So you can find me. My podcast is Copy That Converts, and that drops every Tuesday. We'll have some tidbits of email marketing tips and tricks that you can use to help grow your online business. And you can also find me on Instagram at Megan Wisdom Writes. I do have several resources right now. I'm in the process of creating some storytelling prompts that meet different kind of industries. Right now I have one for a specific industry, but I'm going to do that for more across the board, because I feel like that is what I hear a lot from people, is that they want to learn how to do those stories without making it complicated. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a novel writer. You know, you don't have to have some kind of magic writing pen. And those email prompts can help you do that. So stay tuned, look for that coming soon. You can get on my email list and I'll let you know when that comes out.
Very exciting. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this, Megan. This has been a lot of fun to just chat about some things that we're both passionate about and both have a lot of interest in. It's been such a fun conversation. So thank you for coming on and sharing all your wisdom with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, friend, if you loved today's episode, I want to hear about it. Let's continue the discussion in my free Facebook group. Go to sarahbeisel.com/community and tell me what you thought. I would also love it if you took 30 seconds to leave me a review. Reviews help other people just like you find the show so they can create thriving Facebook groups too. It's time for me to reheat my coffee and head inside my group. I'll see you there or back here for the next episode.